Look at Genesis 4, man, caveman. Verse 16, Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. Remember, he murdered his brother and got cursed and married one of his sisters. There's no problem with where Cain got his wife. Women are not often mentioned in the patriarchal records. The emphasis on the male, the line, the name, the blood, the inheritance. It wasn't demeaning to women. It just wasn't necessary. There was an economy of words. And as we know, Christ elevated women, so there was no disparagement of women. But for every man they had, you know there's 1.2 women. I mean, that's just how it is. There are more women in the world than men. So Adam and Eve didn't just have Cain and Abel as twins. They had other children. They may have had other children before them, and they were daughters, and they intermarried one another. And until the Mosaic Levitical legislation, God did not limit that type of marriage because genetic decay had not come to the point where it caused mutation. It's now, if you intermarry with close relatives, not only is it incestuous and immoral, but it's foolish because of the decay genetically, and you will have mutated and handicapped offspring. But that wasn't a problem back then because they were so close to the curse and the effects and ravages of sin hadn't happened. So what did people look like one generation after creation? Verse 17, Cain had relations with his wife. She conceived, gave birth to Enoch, and he built a city and called the name of the city after his son Enoch. What were people like right after the Garden of Eden? They were civilized. They were cosmopolitan. They did not grunt and groan and carry each other around, pulling them by the hair, and live in seclusion in caves with flickering flames of their fire. They built cities. That's how civilized man was. And they didn't just have cities. Look at verse 20. And Ada gave birth to Jabal, and he was the father of those who were dwelling in tents and had livestock. Ranchers. I mean, this is not wild cavemen stuff. These were people that were ranchers, and they had livestock, and they were herding animals and animal husbandry. They were working out. They didn't live following the herds of buffalo and trying to, you know, beat them up with their sticks and kill them or push them in a pit. They were raising animals. This is civilization. Look at verse 21. And his brother's name was Jubal. I mean, this one guy was a big rancher back then. Jubal was the father of those who play the lyre and the pipe. They had musicians. And if you have musicians, that means you have time to practice, and you have someone that builds the instruments. You have people that listen to the instruments. Have you ever seen any cavemen, you know, sitting around the fire playing a violin? Society was very elevated right out of the Garden of Eden. Look at verse 22. As for Zillah, she gave birth to Tubal-Cain. He was a forger of implements of bronze. Did you know the art of making bronze was lost for centuries? That when they have found some of the objects from the ancient world, it wasn't until modern times they even knew how they made them? They were making this three generations out of the Garden of Eden. Where did man fall into caveman life? Romans 1, and this is where we're going to close before we pray and invite Royce up for our conclusion. Romans chapter 1, and if anybody ever talks to you about dinosaurs and cavemen and, you know, saying that doesn't fit in what you believe and you've got to be an evolutionist, take them to Genesis 4 where we just were and show them what people look like and how with the intelligence God gave them they were making cities and having orchestras and ranching and all that. But then take them to Romans chapter 1, and I just want to read this starting in verse 18, and some of you are well acquainted with it and some of you maybe have never seen this before. And I want to show you the decline and fall of the human race. And what happened is, in verse 18, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth. You see, the problem is not anything less than people don't want a creator. People don't want to know who he is. People don't want to acknowledge him. Verse 19, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, I mean, making 160,000-pound animals and giving them a world that they could eat in, shows his internal and invisible attributes and his immense power, his divine nature, and have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. When I see the coal strata, or the coal seams, when I see the fossils, when I look just at the common honeybee, which is born from two parents that have no similarities to the worker bee that they produce, and yet that worker bee, from the instant it comes out of its little cell and is born, has the ability to sweat wax,
It has a tool it was born with to cut the wax off as it sweats wax. It has another tool that trims it into the exact size to build a honeycomb, and it has a trowel built right onto its little body that cements that piece of wax in to make the most efficient structure known in the universe, the honeycomb. Yet, the queen mother and the drone father have none of those characteristics, have none of those skills, and know nothing about that. How did that little bee get all that stuff? And I could go on and on through all the rest of the animal world. But whether it's the animals of the past, the animals that live around us, or the mighty cherubim that are going to be helping us as we worship our infinite eternal God, all of them, verse 20, make the world without excuse because they show God's power. For even though they knew God, that's right out of the Garden of Eden, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him. They became futile, foolish, their heart was darkened. Verse 22, they profess themselves to be wise, like our common talk show evolutionary people, but they became fools. That's an interesting word. It means morons. It means they have totally turned moronically from revealed truth, and they're willing to believe lies. They exchange the glory of the incorruptible God for an image. This is idolatry. The corruption of man and of birds and of four-footed animals, kind of like the culture of India, where they worship hundreds of thousands and millions of creatures, and they're all very, very creepy, crawling snakes and spiders and stuff like that. Hinduism. They exchanged the incorruptible God for that. Verse 24, therefore God gave them over in the lust of their heart to impurity, so their bodies might be dishonored, and they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and listen, they worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. When you think of dinosaurs, think of our Creator that we should worship. When you think of who God made you to be, pray that He will fill your heart with the wonder of who He is so it overflows. That He will fill your eyes with the ability to see Him in the smallest honeybee, in the little ouzel that skimmers on white water. And then pray that He'll fill your mouth, that you'll confess to people that you know your Creator, because they don't. And until they bow their knee to their Creator, they may not and shall not have eternal life. I hope that the next time someone talks to you about a dinosaur, you don't duck, but you take them head on and say, I'd like to introduce you to the one that made those creatures and a whole lot more that you don't even know about, and worship our Creator. Let's bow before the Lord.